Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on the planet. This part of the show is with a good friend of mine and who was highly recommended to come on our show by another really good friend. His name is Rodney A as in apple, Edwards for judge. And he is a 38-year resident of Brevard County, Florida. He was actually born right here in Melbourne, Florida, and graduated from Melbourne High School, enlisted in the United States Marine Corps at the age of 17, and received an honorable discharge, and then attended law school. And there you have it, Ellen. Rodney is with us.
Fantastic. And his campaign for judge is paying for this part of the segment of the show.
Right. And, you know, I remember watching. So welcome to our show. Welcome. Let's get you nice and comfortable.
That's right.
On Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Our show is like having a conversation with friends and drinking tea or coffee in the morning. But of course, Paul wouldn't let us bring our tea or coffee. And so we have really engaged in conversation about issues that are going on around Brevard County, Florida, around the state of Florida, actually in our nation and our world, because it's interesting to see how many of us are given a voice of reason and understanding and sanity. And the good Lord has blessed us to take that voice, understand that freedom of speech comes with a responsibility, and have a community radio show. So welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, and that's our show in a nutshell.
And
isn't
he's
it?
From my section of town. He's from the Bay Area.
Palm Bay.
Hey, you said that so fancy. The Bay Area.
That's what I tell everyone. When they say, where are you playing? I said, we're playing in the Bay Area tonight. That's what I call it.
That's so sweet.
And well, Rodney and I have known each other for a little while, yeah, because he also has ties with the real estate community and worked for Keller Williams. He works with Keller Williams. His licenses hung there, but was a, or still is, does real estate law, right, in Palm
yes,
Bay?
Yes, yes.
And litigation and so forth. So we need all the help we can get. Yay, Rodney!
Right.
Yeah.
And look at him. He began his legal career as a legal assistant for attorney Damon E. Martin in the law office of Damon E. Martin, located in Los Angeles, California. Mm-hmm. I mean, what could get better than that, right?
Coast to coast. Coast
that's
to
right.
Coast. So it's always interesting
from
to me.
From one Bay Area to the other.
That's yeah. right. Uh-huh. It's always interesting to me why people run for political office. And you've had a great career. You've obviously Marine, right? And
right.
And all of the fantastic things that you've done in your life. What makes you put your hat in the ring to become a Brevard County judge?
Well, for me, I decided to put my hat in the race after starting to work for the city of Palm Bay. Once I went to work at the city of Palm Bay, it's the largest municipality in the county of Brevard. And so I had an opportunity to work on so many different areas of law. I think the board certification test for that, board certification in city, county, local government law deals with like 17 areas of law.
Wow.
So once I did that, and I've been there for the past 6 years, I felt that it was time for me to seek the promotion or go to the next level in my career and to try to sit as a county court judge.
Yeah, and you have a lot of experience as well in the courtroom.
Yes.
Unlike a lot of people who run for office in a judicial role to become a judge, a lot of them don't have experience. So tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends some of the experience you have in the courtroom.
So most of my experience in the courtroom was dealing with criminal defense. I started my actual legal work with a law firm over in Orlando that was called Mueller and Somerville.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a small boutique law firm, but they dealt with very high-end criminal cases and administrative law cases. The administrative law that deals with like nursing and doctor's license, Florida bar discipline cases. And so when I went to work for them, I had the experience to deal with some very high-level criminal cases, DUI manslaughter cases, some of the high profile white collar crime cases. And so when I talked to them, the way they trained me was the fact that the most important part they felt of the trial process was the preparation. And so in the preparation stage is where you can actually win the case. And so one of the things that Chan taught me was, if you can't convince a state attorney or a judge that your client is not guilty or deserves some type of lower sentence or deal, you're probably not going to have a good outcome trying to convince six individuals that know nothing about the law. And so I've tried to adapt that into my practice and in my firm, where sometimes you don't have to go to trial if you can convince the person that your client is not guilty. And so I've had to do some, sit on some murder cases, a lot of family law, real estate, because, you know, back when the foreclosure market was going on, it was like you could spend the whole day in court doing, you know, those foreclosure cases. So I've had a lot of opportunities to help a lot of people here in the county and around the state. I've practiced as far as Jacksonville, Hillsborough County, Gainesville, Volusia County. So I think I'm pretty well-rounded. And the fact that I had my own firm, I think, says something, because I had to, the clients actually trusted me to come all of those different places to work on their behalf.
So one of the things that people don't realize is that Palm Bay is one of the biggest cities in Florida, if not like third or fourth largest.
I think it's third,
right?
Largest.
Yeah.
In the state of Florida. So there is a lot of action going on in Palm Bay and a lot of things that people are probably unaware of because of, you know, maybe the slow infrastructure, the slow what happened over the last 20 years. But nonetheless, the a lot of the citizens in Palm Bay represent a large part of Brevard County.
Right. Absolutely. But he's running for the entire county.
Correct.
So yeah. People have all, not just Palm Bay, but from Titusville to all the way down to Vero, right? They need
part of Mims to Mico.
Mims to Mico. M to M,
yeah,
right?
To Mico.
And so when you say, because I heard you speak at the Democratic Forum at the in Rockledge Garden Club.
Uh-huh.
And I thank God you're here, because I wrote down what you said and I'm like, wow. You were talking about knowledge and experience and service and fairness. And that right there is the role of a judge.
Right.
Right? And so I wrote it down on my phone. I texted it to myself, and now here I am in person. So tell us about those four things that you talk about. You know, how did you come up with that slogan? Because it's so real. It's what a judge should be.
I mean, I felt that entering the campaign, I felt that that was the four areas that I felt showed that I should be elected as the next county court judge. Like I said, with the knowledge, I think that in this race, everyone has practiced criminal defense. And then we have one individual that does injunctions. And I've done criminal defense and injunctions. However, my experience goes past that. I've done civil work, torts, real estate law. So I think that, and now city, county, local government. So as far as the knowledge, I think I have a wider range of knowledge on legal issues that I can take to the bench, as well as experience. I've been in the legal system for about 20 years, and I've been licensed as an attorney for past 12 years. So I didn't jump into the role as soon as I was eligible to run for judge, which is 5 years. I wanted to take my time and actually develop.
You gathered some moss on your back, so to speak, right? In Trinidad, they would say, well, that person have a lot of moss on their back.
That's right.
They have, yeah. It's an experience, that's right, to lead, right? So I think Allie, our resident guest.
Yes, yeah, resident guest, that's me. Yeah. I'm just the one that sits in occasionally. I was glad to see you here, Rodney. With all of those items that you mentioned that you have experience in, do all those things run into play with the position that you're running for?
No, that's the difference. There's a difference between the county court level and the circuit court level. Basically, with the county court level, it's sometimes referred to as the people's court. because they handle small claim issues, misdemeanors, any action and controversy that's less than $30,000. You know, they're going to do your traffic tickets, your small claims issues that you're going to
face. Like Judge Wapner.
Right. And so the circuit court is the one that handles your felonies, your family law, anything that's in controversy over $30,000. They're going to be able to sentence people to death and things of that nature. So a county court judge is more of a judge for the people
to help them. Just resolve. To be clear, which one are you running
for? I'm running for a county court judge.
The people's court. He is the people's court. So what are the qualifications in order for someone to qualify to run for a judge?
It's very simple. The only qualifications you have to have is you have to be, of course, a Florida bar attorney, in good standing with the Florida bar, and you only have to have 5 years of experience.
Gee, let's start school tomorrow. Can a judge engage in personal and extrajudicial activities? Like, what are your boundaries once elected? We're hoping you get elected, so let's think like that.
So you're kind of limited in your actions, like, for example, outside employment. So I would have to leave Keller Williams because I can't be doing, you know, selling real estate and sitting as a judge and, you know, causing conflicts of interest and things of that nature. A lot of judges live a strange lifestyle. A
quiet lifestyle.
Correct.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. They lay low.
Right, right, right.
Like, they can't even come to your barbecue or nothing.
Right.
You bring the food to them and say, you can't come, so I brought you the food.
Yeah, because you don't want to create potential conflicts of interest.
Do you feel like our running for judge has made you a politician of some? I mean, at this point, do you consider yourself a politician?
I don't consider myself as a politician, but although it is, it's that balance that you have to run between being a politician and being an elected official and a judge at the same time.
Especially in the days of social media.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I guess in the old days, you didn't have to worry as much. But today, people can screenshot. They can record. They can come behind you when you don't even know and take a selfie with you. And you know.
You have no secrets.
And then the promises, you know. So, like, that's a good thing, I think, about running for judge, some of the rules that are put in place. So we can't actually campaign like a normal politician would campaign, where you have a platform and you're making promises, you're going to clean the streets up and things of that nature. So it's more of, I think, showing who you are and how you're willing to give back. So right. I think that's the most important thing for me, that if I am elected judge, I will come back in the community and continue to give service to the.
Well, and three of the committees that you're on are so, you know, we're so involved with them in Brevard County. Diversity and Inclusion Committee, you're on with the Florida Bar Committees.
Yes.
Eminent Domain Committee, which total real estate, right? And with the housing market and the things that we've got going on, so important. And then Governmental and Public Policy Advocacy Committee, which, again, you're on an advocacy board. I can't even say that word.
Yeah.
As well for
the community
County.
Action board. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's great,
and it's so important that
to give back,
but also that our officials that are going to get elected for the things that they're running for, that they're campaigning for, they have in touch,
skin
they're
in the game.
Touch
you
with
have
what's
skin
going
in the
on,
game.
And it's not like what we say, somebody knocking on the door that you've never seen before. It's people that are actually out there doing fantastic things in the community and being a part of committees that are actually changing the face and changing the texture, if you will, of Brevard County. It's amazing.
It is. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Mr. Rodney A. Edwards, and he is a candidate for the County Court Judge Group A.
Group four,
I'm sorry. And I don't know why I'm thinking A. A's for Apple. But anyways, so for people who are out there, first to begin with, we want people to vote. You can't complain if you're not part of the system. And there are so many ways you can vote. Early voting has started. I sent my ballot in by mail. So, Rodney, tell our listeners about the different ways that they can vote. And, you know, who didn't, maybe they should get off the couch and do something.
Quick.
Absolutely. So, you said quick.
Quick.
So, as you said, we have if you have requested a vote by mail ballot, you can vote by mail. You can either mail the ballot back or you can take it to the actual polling place and drop it in the box. You can also, right now, beginning last Saturday until this Saturday, the 23rd, I mean, this Saturday, the 20th, you can early vote. So there are 10 locations around the county that you can early vote at. And if you don't know, you probably need to go to the Supervisor of Elections website so that you know those exact 10 places, because they're not the normal places that you could necessarily early vote.
Right.
And then on primary day, which is next Tuesday, the 23rd, you can go to your local polling place and cast your vote if you have
it. Right. And people need to check their IDs, check your driver's license, check your identification. If you want to go in person, that's wonderful, but cross all your T's and dot all your I's.
Well, make
because
plans. That's what we've been saying.
Well, make a plan to vote.
Make a plan to
vote. It's so important. So now, do you have a campaign committee, and are you looking for volunteers to help put out signs and events, whatever? What
Absolutely.
Are you doing?
So we do have a campaign committee. We're getting ready. Right now, we need people to help us at the polling locations to wave signs and come out and support the voter. I'm having a big campaign event this weekend. I was endorsed by Rubenstein Law.
Mm-hmm.
So they're coming down, and we're going to be giving away 1,000 backpacks to kids. Going to have food, games, and then they're world famous for their motorcycle defense. So they're going to be bringing down their motorcycles. So we're asking all the motorcycle clubs to come out and just hang out with us from 10 to 2 on Saturday.
Yeah, I've seen their commercial. Lots of bicycles for true. Well, motorbikes. Motorcycles, yeah. So, Mr. Rodney, what do you think are the biggest challenges to the justice system in Brevard County, Florida? I mean, there has to be something that you say, if I'm a judge, I could change that.
What I think is the biggest issue in the justice system, period, I probably couldn't change. And that would be, I think that diversity and inclusion is probably the biggest hamper to the justice system in the state of Florida. And that doesn't necessarily come from me. This was done, studies done back, I think it was like 2010, where they actually came in and created the diversity and inclusionary committee at the Florida Bar because they felt that the bar membership didn't reflect the community of the state of Florida. And then in 2017, the bar president, Eugene Pettis, commissioned a survey and a study that showed that we needed to do some work to make the bar look more like us. And so if the bar membership isn't diverse and inclusionary, the judicialship, it's not going to be diverse and inclusionary.
Yeah. I mean, everybody wants to feel like they're part of the system.
Correct.
And when you show up there and you don't see somebody like look like you, talk like you, understand your socioeconomic background, your zip code, your area, it's difficult, right?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's not just race or color. It's experiences. You know, so we were having a conversation one day, and for people that are from New York, some have never had a car before. They've always depended on public transportation. If you move here to Melbourne or to Brevard County, you know, not to bash scat, but it's no comparison. So if you're used to taking public transportation to go somewhere, you may be late to court thinking that, you know, it only takes, you know, 30 minutes, an hour to get there.
Or you'll have trouble driving because you haven't driven before.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you'll be like me and drive too close behind the police and get a ticket.
Uh-oh.
Like, what were you thinking? You didn't see a police in front of you. And I'm not even from New York. So when people say justice for all, how do you define that? Because we're living in a time in our nation when we're seeing so much division, so much hatred for no reason, so much fear and anxiety, and people are getting depressed, mental health issues over this. It's like, the good Lord made me this color. If you want to change it, go talk to him, not me. But when we say justice for all, how do you interpret that to mean?
Well, I think that as a judge, you take an oath, and you're supposed to know the law, take the law that is given, as it's written, apply the facts to the law, and then render a judgment that is fair and equitable. And so I think that that's the way that I think judges can ensure that justice is for all if you're being fair and equitable to everybody that comes before, regardless of their situation, their skin color.
And you're probably seeing a lot in your law practice, too, or at least in the past few years, of people that have never gotten in trouble before. So things have changed, you know, with the pandemic, with just that's what's going on with our politics in general. People that wouldn't normally have legal issues are coming up with more and more legal issues. People that have never had, you know, they've never been poor before. They've never had, you know, like the hand to mouth kind of type of thing. Yeah. So it's so important for judges like you that have been in that community to really listen too.
Yeah.
And are you experiencing the same thing? Like people have not, you know,
yeah,
first
all the time.
Time,
yeah.
Right? First timers.
You know, and I think that's another thing that judges have to be aware of.
And sensitive to.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And, you know, I think Judge Majeed is one of the kindest judges I've ever seen. He has the same
I know his speech.
Day.
I know his speech by heart.
Exactly. Say it.
What he says in the court about being a good citizen in America mm-hmm. and in freedom and democracy.
Yes,
and
every day.
Yeah.
As soon as he comes on the bench, he says good morning to everybody in the courtroom.
Yes.
And then he says everybody's having a great day. Yes. And he says you should because you woke up this morning in the greatest country in the world, in the greatest state in the country.
Yeah, he makes you want to be reborn in America all over again, you know? So how would you balance being a judge as an elected official? Because you have a personal life, you have a professional life, and then you're going to be elected.
I think that I'm going to, if I'm elected, I'm going to continue to do many of the things that I'm doing now. I'm going to be in the community, actually working and serving, mentoring, and just educating people as to the justice system and how they can get a help and assistance. I think that's something key that judges should do. You don't just become a judge and just sit in the courtroom and in your chambers, but you got to get out. You got to mentor other attorneys. You got to be in organizations. You got to be in the
Well, you're
community.
Also a role model. So you're a role model in the community. So what advice do you have for children who are looking up to you as a role model? Because we're seeing where so many people don't have a foundation at home. Everything starts in the home. The foundation for life starts in the home. So what do you tell the young children who are looking up to you that don't have that role model at home?
I think the one thing that I talk and discuss with kids, because I work with kids a lot, is that to never give up. It doesn't matter where you start at. It just matters where you finish. And as long as you seek out a good education, you work hard, you give back to your community, things will go. Things will progress. Believe in God. Put God first. Things are just going to come to you. It took me a long time to get here. You know, I went in the military first, but I went to school, worked at night, worked, and then went to school in the evenings. But I was able to do it.
So you had education and opportunities,
yes.
And you took it. So if you met somebody and they said, why are you going to leave all this busy lifestyle you have with the real estate and the law firm and all the other things you're doing with the city of Palm Bay? And you're running for office. What would be your little spiel in an elevator to somebody to why they should vote for you versus another candidate in this race?
Well, I think they should vote for me just based off those four things that I told you: experience, knowledge, service, and fairness. I'm doing this to eliminate, although it may eliminate some economic income. I think that I'm going to be elevating my game to affect other people. I think as a judge, I can come back and be even more effective and even more instrumental in the community than I am right now as an attorney.
Yeah. How do we get more people to cast that all-important vote? I mean, we know, you know, and I know a lot of people from the Caribbean and other places. They're like, I don't get involved in voting. Like, why? What are we not doing to show people that from the minute you wake up till the minute you go to bed, life is political, whether you like it or not. You have to vote.
Well, I think that one of the things that we stress, either through your churches or through your families, one of the things that we used to do was to go vote as a family. You take your family, your friends, and try to get them to go with you or get them to at least get involved in the system. And I think that that's going to be, you know, the best way to actually get people.
Well, you're very calm, Mr. Rodney Edwards, and I think you'd make a great judge. You're a good listener, and you're fair-minded, and I think that's what it takes, is you love all people, I could tell. Yeah. You want to do good for Brevard. I really wish you well. So give us your website and how people can get a hold of you if they want to meet you for the, because the primary is on August 23rd.
Correct.
So we still have
seven days.
So if people want to meet you, they want to attend a meet and greet, have an event, put a campaign sign in their yard, whatever they want to do, give us the website.
You can reach our website at www.RodneyEdwards4judge.com and our email, RodneyEdwards4judge@gmail.com.
He's kind of like, he should be called like the friendly judge. Because
right.
When you get into a courtroom, you're already so anxious and stressed out and depressed, and you got to leave the kids someplace, the car, the gas, the boss, but you need somebody that says, I understand what you're going through. Let's hear about it.
Yeah. So Rodney's going to have his own speech like Judge Majeed
in
the beginning, right? You got to work it on.
I got to work on it.
Work on it.
Yes.
So make sure that you go to that website. You can actually donate to the campaign. Once again, you can get the signs. You can volunteer. All kinds of fantastic things that you can do as part of this. And remember, it's only 7 days away. So make sure that you make a plan to vote. That's the primary, is August 23rd.
Yeah, and your race can be decided at a primary, right? If you get a certain percent.
So since there's three people in the race, if one person doesn't get 50 plus 1%, then the top two individuals would go to the general.
Wow. So we might end up having you back on the show again if that happens, but we hope not, because when you're running for office, Ellen, and I ran for office, it's a hard job to give up. Your whole life is on standstill. You know that because you were my manager. And so people need to really show some respect and understand where the candidates are coming from, no matter what job you're running for. And they need to cast that all-important vote, because that's how it is.
Yes. Exactly right. Well, Rodney Edwards, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And
good
telling
to see
us
you
your
again.
Story. It's good to see you as well. And once again, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we are sponsored. We're going to listen to a few of those sponsors right now, and then we'll be right back with these right after these all-important messages with Suzanne Taylor.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.